6 day. Vayome Elokim, and God said, Totsi Haaretz Nefesh Chaya Lemina. Let the land bring out the Nefesh, the soul of life, Lemina, according to its form. Behema, the animals. Veremis, that which crawls. Vachayeto Eretz, that which lives on the land, Lemina, Vayihichein, and it was thus. Vayas Elokim, and God formed et Chayat Haaretz, the living creatures of the land, Lemina, according to their form. Ve'et HaBehema, and the animals, Lemina, according to their form. Ve'et Kol Remes, and all those crawling things are Ha'adama on the land, Leminehu. Vayar Elokim Kitov, and God saw that it was good. Rashi is bothered by it. It says V'totze Ha'aretz Nefesh Chaya. It doesn't say and God created Vayom Elokim Yihi Nefesh Chaya. It says Totze Ha'aretz. The Aretz brings out. See, so Rashi says, what does it mean V'totze? That it came out. It sounds as if it was already there, at least in potential. Hu Shapirashi. That's like I explained to you. Shakol Nivra Miyom Rishon. Everything was created on the first day. To bring them out into their from their potential and into the reality on each day. So everything in potential was created on the first day. We gave the reason for that, because that's the tachlis of the world. The world's evolving from bringing out into its from its potential into its reality. Nefesh chaya, sheyesh bachiyut, again has life, the life from the soul again. Remesh hem shiratzim. These are the shiratzim, the creepy crawlies that are low and are moving around on the land. And looks as if they're like nigra, they're like dragged along the land. The walking isn't clear. Okay, whatever. It's not clear they're walking. So these aren't like, so to speak, walking things. So Rashi's telling me created animals which have, you know, which are walking, and things which are not walking. Those things which are close to the land look as if they're not walking. They're not nika hiluchan. Now, why we? Talk about the animals. So something which isn't nika hiluchan, it's not clear its walking ability, is a more base animal. You with me? It's closer to the land. It's closer to physicality. So walking, we're learning from Rashi, is something which is more to do with a higher form. Mm-hmm. Correct? That's what a piece of Torah we're learning here. You with me? Mm-hmm. Clear? Everyone's clear about that? Okay. It's important to know that because of man. Next. So. Okay. Ve'yas Elokim et chayat ha'aretz. He said he made the animals of the land. Tiknam b'tzivyonam. He fixed them in the tzivyonam. So Rashi, the Sifte Chom explains, the kumatan, in their standing. Right? In their way of standing. Right? In their place, in their way of standing. So you see standing, betikunan ubekumatan, in fixing them and in their way they stand, the place to be. They have, everyone has a position, a place to be. It's form. Okay, so that's what was done. Because they were already there, potential. So now we fixed them. What's the Vyas, the second Vyas? We already brought them out, right? We already brought them out. Mm-hmm. So after we brought them out, why do we have to remake them? We fix them in this place they're supposed to be, and in their fixing, in their proper environment, the proper way, right? So everything has its tachlis, its purpose, has its ecology. Okay. So now we've done that. Now what are the next class we're doing? So now, Vayome Elokim, and God said, this is the climax of creation. Naase Adam Betzalmenu. Let us make man in our form. Kidmutenu, similar to us, Viyirdu, and he will have dominion, Begat Hayam, in the fish of the seas, uba'of hashamayim, in the birds of the heavens, uba behema, and in the animals, ubechol haaretz, and in all the land. Ubechol haremes haromes ala aretz, and in all the creepy crawlies on the land. Right? All those creeping things. Vayivra Elokim et ha'adam, and God created. Now it says Vayivra Elokim, not we created, God created. Et Adam b'tzalmo, in his form, in God's form, b'tzelem Elokim bara oto, he created him. Zachar unekeva bara otam. So he created man, and then he said he created male and female, he created them. So again, we went from singular to plural. So let's try and understand something. First it says na'ase, let us make man, and then it says Hashem created man. It then says we create man singular, and then it says he created male and female, he created them. So there's little steerers here. There's little contradictions here.
That's the idea of our image.
Yeah, okay, what does that mean? Our image and similar to us. Similar to who? Who's the us here? It says Nase Adam, let us make man. Anvenuto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the modesty of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who says to the angels, let us make man. Lamdeinu mikam, we learn from here, lefi shehadam hu bidmut hamalachim, man is in the form of the malachim, v'yitkan'u, and they will be jealous bo in him, lefikach, therefore, nimlach behem, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks of them, takes advice from them to create man. V'kashu dan et hamalachim, and when he judges the malachim, with the malachim, hu nimlach b'pamalyatur, in his like hierarchy of how you say of his courts. Shekei matzinu ba'acha v'chule v'chule. I'm going to skip this. Right. So he, when he Kadosh Baruch Hu judges, he asks his Pamalia to judge, right? It says, Kol Tzva Hashemayim Omid Alav Mimino, all the heavenly bodies stand on in front of him, on his right side, Umismolo, and on his left side. Ki Yesh Yemin Usmol Lifnav, there's right or left in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Elu Maiminim Lizchut, these are telling the merit, the side of merit. These are telling the side of chova, of obligation, to be obligated. Okay? So now, let's carry on. Afkan, also here, the Palmalia Shiro, in his higher courts, Natal Rashut, I skipped, Amalahim, he told them, Yesh be'elyonim kidmuti, there is in the higher worlds, Kidmuti, i.e. the Malachim. Im ein kidmuti b'tachtonim, it is not like my form in the lower worlds. Hari yesh kina, there's jealousy b'maisa bereshit, in the creation of the world. I.e. there has to be equality. Just as I created the Malachim in my form, these spiritual forms in the heavenly world, I have to create man with my form in the lower worlds, in order there won't be kina, jealousy in the world. Now, therefore God, when creating man, who's like the lower form of the expression of God's form in the lower worlds, he asked the Malachim, right? So there wouldn't be kina. There shouldn't be jealousy.
Jealousy in which world?
Jealousy of the Malachim over man, and also jealousy between the worlds. There should be an equilibrium in the worlds. You see this concept of equilibrium? We always have this equilibrium. And also, what are we seeing here? That God says, to solve this problem of kina, God says, I'm going to ask them about making man, to get rid of kina. Second of all, Chazal says, it's the anava of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here in the creation of man, God shows his anava, his humility. So now all these questions we need to ask, we need to give an answer to, right? Why in the creation of man does he show his anava? Why is there kina? Is there jealousy of the Malachim to man? Why is this concept of equilibrium of the higher worlds and lower worlds? We have in the higher worlds a comparison to God. In the lower worlds we have a comparison to God. What does all this mean? Okay? Na'ase Adam, let us make man. Second Rashi. Afal pi, even though Shalosiyuo biyitzirato, the Malachim didn't help him in the creation of man. V'yesh makom lapikosim, there's place, Kolibohu a place for those who don't believe, lirdot, to argue, lo nimna, to argue and say there's two creators, there's a double deity. Lo nimna akotov, the Torah didn't prevent us milelamed derech eretz, to teach us derech eretz, the way of the world, the proper way of the world, umidat anava, and the midah, the characteristic of humility, shehagadol, the person who's bigger, I am God, nimlach, ask advice, v'notzer reshut, and take permission, minakatan, from that which is smaller than him, i.e. the malachim. Right? V'im katav e'ese adam, lo lamadnu, shayem midave im beidino, we wouldn't have learned, he spoke with his beis din, ele im atmo, he spoke with himself, v'tshuvato katav v'tzido. And the tshuva to the apikoros is written later on in the pasuk, where it says, "Vayivra et Adam," singular. Remember that was the question we asked? "Vayivra et Adam," singular. "Velo katav vayivra'u," and they created man. I.e., there's place for thinking that man was a creation of a double deity, and the pasuk therefore says, "Man was created by a singular God." Now, why is it important for us to know the man was created by a singular God? Why is it important to us to know why here, by the creation of man? I mean, you could have asked, you know, throughout creation, the Malachim or whoever it was, should I do this? Should I do this? How should I create my world? Okay, we can give an answer here in creating the that type of form, which is similar to Malachim. There's more kina, and he is asking the advice, like Rashi explained, right? But why dafka by man is this all occurring? What is teaching us about man? Why here there's room for an apikoros, or a person doesn't believe, to say, ah, there's a double deity? And why here God says, vayivra Adam, he creates man singularly? Why is it important that only God creates man? Why was so, God, let's say, na'ase Adam, let both of them create man. So what? Why do we only God create man? Why does there be singularity here?
Angels can't create.
Question is, what is angels? We said that angels were created in the form of God. Angels don't have free will like man. The only thing in creation that has free will is man. Now, God being something which is separate from the world, right? He, in a certain sense, he can't directly interact with the world. His interaction with the world comes through layers of spiritual worlds. You understand what I'm saying? There's like hierarchy of spiritual worlds. In each,
four layers or something.
Yeah, there's more. There's much more. Huh? Different spirit levels of spiritual worlds.
What's taking place in these worlds?
It's a very complicated question. You need to learn. There's lots of svarim on the details of what happens in these hierarchy of spiritual worlds. It's called learning Maise Merkava. It's how God interacts with the physical world. Right? It's hard enough for us to understand how quarks interact, how particles interact, or strings interact. It's hard enough. Most people don't even understand that, even the people who learn this the whole time. It's there, and that's much more easy to understand that. That's also part of God's interaction in the world. How the spiritual, metaphysical world works is called learning Kabbalah. There's just as you see Shas, there's Svarim on Kabbalah like Shas. So if you want to learn that, after 10 years of yeshiva in Machon Shlomo or wherever it is, I'll send you to yeshiva.
Shas is how the physical world works.
No, Shas is also how the spiritual world works as well. It's just harder to get it from that. Kabbalah Svarim, it's more directly talking about that. But it's also very hard to understand, because most people, even those Svarim, don't understand so well. But if you want to learn that, it's written there in detail. It's very hard to understand, but it's written there. That's also Torah Baal Peh. There's hierarchy of spiritual worlds through which God interacts with the world. And that's from our point of view, because it's very hard to understand something which defines existence to relate to an ant. And way in comparison to God, a little ant. Why should he have any relationship with us? How does that work? It's a very difficult philosophical question. The answer Judaism gives is there's a hierarchy of worlds through which he somehow emanates of himself in a succinct way, a mitzumtzam way. And this is called what's called spheres. You've heard of the spheres, the 10 spheres? Right. So the 10 spheres exist in each of these levels of spiritual world. A sphere means like mispah, counted. It's like a quantum of God's expression. So you have different midas. You have Keter, you have God's crown or his complete loving kindness. You have his chokhmah, his wisdom. You have his bina, his understanding. You have his das, his way of radiating all those things together comes in das through, right? That's what das means, full expression. We're going to see that soon in Chumash. Then there's chesed, gvura, chesed, loving kindness, gvura, din, justice, netzach. They have to translate netzach in English. Hod, glorification, yesod, foundation, and malchus, which is ultimately expression. Those are the 10 spheres. Through those 10 spheres, then you have another concept which is called partsufim, which is called literally faces. But it, like a face can smile, it can be angry, it can be do a lot of things. It can be a combination of midas. So a partsuf is like particle physics and quantum mechanics. So particle physics is the spheres, quantum mechanics is the partsufim. It's the concept of partsufim, which is an expression, combination of these things together. Right? So that's Teres de Arizal. Before the Arizal, he only had the concept of midas, of spheres. The Arizal came and explained the Zohar, which speaks about Partsufim, which is a combination of these midas. And after the Arizal, then we began to understand more the Teres Shebaal Peh of the Zohar. But that's where this is discussed in detail, in very, very detail. And it's very hard to understand. That's not for us, but it's there. You understand? Okay.
What about Derech Hashem?
Derech Hashem is the Reb Chaim Vital, no, Reb Chaim Vital, Reb Chaim Luzzatto wrote a book, philosophical book, explaining logically, somewhat, it's a very, very good book, but logically, if you go through it in detail, it's very logical, the philosophy of Judaism of how these things work. There's a better book, a more detailed book of his called the Klach Pitchei Chochma, but that's not for you guys. Derech Hashem is for you guys. You can read that, but if you read it in English, it's not the same as reading it in Hebrew and reading it with a shir, someone who understands it to explain it to you. Because every word says more than the word itself. You understand? Okay, that's it. Now, what are Malachim? Malachim are these emanations of God's will in each world. So we have Malachim in each world, and in the lower worlds, you have the Malachim which relate to us. The Gemara says, Midrash says, that there's a Malach on each plant saying, grow. I.e. the Koach of life in the creation is Derech HaMalachim. I.e. the laws of nature, in a certain sense, are Derech HaMalachim. Right? So whatever that means, the way the world works, the order, is through the hierarchy of the spiritual worlds. It's not physical. It's a combination of the spiritual to the physical. And the way that's done, that order from a Kodesh Baruch Hu is down to the lower physical world, is through Malachim. Shlichim. They're the messengers of God, of his will.
Directly.
Huh? God does directly. You can pray, you have to understand something. We're saying that Malachim, but when you pray every day, how do you say? You don't pray to Malach, say Baruch Atah. You say you. You're praying directly to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have the ability of praying directly to him. Now that's, if a person thinks about it deeply, that's unbelievable. That does not make sense. But that, you have the ability to do that. And Har Sinai, God appeared to us, whatever that means, the whole Merkava, the whole way that God interacts with the world, that's Har Sinai, he showed himself to us, he appeared to us, and we understood fully how God interacts with the world. Because of that, so to speak, emanation of God, the Jewish people couldn't take it. They couldn't be on that level of perception. So they were in that level of perception for the first Dibra, for Anochi Va'Oyeh. But afterwards they asked Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them over the Ten Commandments because it was too much of a high level. And that's the source for the golden calf. Because of that chet, the Jewish people, they wanted Moshe instead of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that left the source of that intermediary that they needed. They were on a lower level. Okay, that's a separate shiur. Okay? Why does God have to express himself in the creation of man with humility? Why does he have to ask the Malachim, the hierarchy of the spiritual world, how to create man? Why does he have to make this equilibrium?
Teach a man a lesson?
Of course. We have a bit of Torah here. Why the creation of man has to be done with humility?
Because Hashem knows his own power.
Because Hashem?
Hashem knows his own power.
Knows his own power?
And maybe somehow...
But why the creation of man has to be done with humility? The creation of the whole world wasn't with humility. This means something specific. If I create something, and remember, when I create something, that's the midah I'm showing. That means in my creation, right? For example, when a human being creates something, right? If he's thinking about something when he's creating something, that will influence the creation he's making. So if God's in this mode, so to speak, of humility, man will be created in this humble form. I.e., man's tachlis of his creation is that man should come to this humility. What does humility mean? Humility means that I am just, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Anachnu ma, who am I? I'm just a shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm just his messenger. Tachlis of man is to be that humble human being, to be a shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why in the creation, right, man was created with humility. Now, why we have the malachim? What's a malach? A malach is a person who's a shliach. A malach can only do God's will. Now we created man. We created man. There's going to be kina. Therefore, we ask the malachim to create man. Right? Why we ask them so there won't be kina. And also, why are we creating man? So then the creation, there won't be kina. What is kina? What does kina mean? What does jealousy mean? When are you jealous? You're jealous of something which is similar to you. But you're only jealous if someone who's similar to you and they don't deserve it. Or you think you deserve it. When the other person deserves it, you're not jealous of them. If they honestly deserve it, you don't deserve it. Jealous. So now somehow in the creation, there can be kina of the malach into man. A malach can only do God's will. Man was created with free will. Man is the center of creation, and man has part of him is the Elyonim v'Tachtonim, the higher worlds and the lower worlds, the spiritual and the physical. You with me? So man can not be a shliach of God's will. When man is not a shliach of God's will, not a messenger of God's will, then comes kina, but my sabrishus. How comes you gave man such a spiritual dominion, such a high level, and he's not doing your will? We have the level we have, but we're only doing your will. How do you get rid of that kina when man does God's will? You understand? The kina exists, the jealousy exists when man doesn't deserve his spiritual level. Man doesn't deserve to be like a malach. How does man, we get rid of that? By creating man with humility, or with the potential for humility, i.e. the potential for being just a creation of Ratzon Hashem, of the will of God. You with me? You understand that? You understand that gives an answer? Now, it gets rid of kina of Maaseh Bereishis, because you have the Malachim in the Elyonim, and now you have man in the lower worlds, right? You have Kedmus Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the upper world. What's Kedmus? The expression of his will. And you have man in the lower world to express his will. But man has this ability of not expressing his will. So that still allows for this kina, for this jealousy, so to speak, between the higher worlds and the lower, or between the malachim and man. Right? And when that occurs, what happens? Then there's a kitrug on man. Then there's, how do you say kitrug? Then there's a... Man doesn't deserve his position. Man doesn't deserve this good that you're giving him. And therefore punishment comes to the world. Do you understand how this is set into creation? Understand why it's done in the way now? Yeah? Makes sense? Okay. Let's go forward. Now let's see. It says, and he'll be v'yirdu b'dgat hayam. The purpose of man, he's created b'tzalmenu, u'kudmutenu, and he's, what's man's purpose? To have dominion over all the animals. That's it. Dr. Doolittle, right? You're going to have dominion over all the animals, right? That's it. That's what our purpose is. So that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, what's man? V'yirdu b'dgat hayam. Right? So it says, b'tzalmenu, b'tfus shelanu. They have the same tfus, the same form as us in God and the Malachim. Kidmutenu, lahavin ulahaskil. To understand and to have knowledge. So tzelem elokim is associated with our thinking ability, our consciousness. That's kidmutenu, that's like God. That's God-like. We have his form and we're God-like. Yeah.
Is it because if God has free will? We're created in God's image, therefore we have free will. So
the Malachim also created in His image, but they don't have free will. Free will is associated with the tachlis of the bria, in that if we didn't have free will, the world couldn't come to its purpose, which is to give tov, ultimate goodness, to the Creator. Creations.
Free will comes because we're in a physical body.
Yeah, yeah. That's the reason. That's how it works. Why were we given free will? He was asked. Why were we given free will? Is in order that we would be a Baal HaTovah. We like God. In order for us to get ultimate goodness, we have to be God-like, because God represents ultimate goodness. In order to be like God, you have to be Baal HaTovah, a person who can choose good. Therefore, you can choose bad as well. So therefore, we have to have free will. That has to be the tough. That's the first, one of the first shurim. You know, the example of the rich person, the marshal of the rich person, and the, who gives his son. He'll give him with measure. He won't give him completely.
We were talking the other day about how the closer you get to God, the less choice you actually have.
That's what man's supposed to do. Man's supposed to come to a level of ultimate humility, where he's nullifying his free will to God. That he just becomes a messenger of God. And then there's no kin of a miserabilis. That's what we just said. You understand? That's man's tachlis. Through his free will, he negates his free will. Our purpose is to negate our free will, to be a complete vessel in expressing God's will.
Then how can you continue to accrue mitzvah, like with your own?
You can't. The purpose of this.
You're done then.
Yeah, that's it. You're done. When you get on the level, when a person gets on the level where he's completely nullified his will to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's done. You're right, it's done. Moshe Rabbeinu got to that level. It's very hard to get to that level.
And then your purpose in the world is over.
Yeah.
Right?
Then you have no reason and for
you
living.
Die.
Yeah. You're finished, you're done. It takes a lot of work to get there. Don't worry, we have plenty of time. Okay. So now let's see. V'yirdu b'dgat hayam. We haven't yet Tzalmenu k'dmutenu, I haven't yet explained so far. I'm just reading now. V'yirdu b'dgat hayam. Man will have dominion of the fish of the sea. Yesh beloshin hazeh. Rashi says, there is in this loshin yirdu, right? Loshin ridui. A loshin of dominion. The loshin yirida. And a loshin of going down. Zacha. The man has merit. Rode b'chayot u'b'behemot. He has dominion over the animals. Lo zacha, if he's not merited, nase yirud, he becomes lo lifnehem, v'achaya moshelet bo, and the animals have dominion over him. Now, that's what I told you. The Gemara says an animal doesn't kill a human being unless nidmelo kebehema, unless they look at him as a behema. I.e., when man loses his tzelem elokim. When man loses his godly form, he becomes an animal, and then the animals have dominion over him. You could say, they could say that as well. You could say his pious chaya in him, his guf has dominion over him as well. His yetzer hara has dominion over him, his guf, his physicality. Both things are true. Okay, so now, man's purpose is to have dominion over the animals. That's what we're saying. If he's zoche, he has dominion over them. How is he zoche? When he has godly form. What's godly form? He has to be in the same press, the same form as God. Okay. And he has to lavin ulaskil. A man's purpose in the world is to be like God, is lavin ulaskil. That means you're here to be in university, to take a course, to sit and understand the world. That's it. And when you do that, you have dominion. What does that mean?
Are you seriously being sarcastic?
Huh? Yeah, listen to the Pasuk. Pasuk says, God made man, right, in his form and like him, and therefore he will have dominion over the animals. When you have God's form, you have dominion. That's a zacha. Not zacha, v'yirdu, you'll be yarud. The animals have dominion over you, or the animal part in you will have dominion over you. So, we now know our purpose is to have dominion over the world. How do we have dominion? Says, B'tzalmenu, we have his tfus, the same form. And lavinu laskil. So we have to understanding the world. Understanding the world will give us the dominion over the world. Now what does that mean?
You're creating.
Let's go back now. When man becomes godlike, the form of God, and he has that understanding of the world, i.e., the understanding brings him to be more godlike, which is ultimately lehitiv, to do good. His dominion is to express himself in the world, to express his innate higher form, the higher form of his tzelem Elokim in the world, and that gives him dominion over the world. Dominion means the man builds buildings, man captures animals, makes hides, makes shoes, does things. He's creative in this world. That's dominion over the world. That's power over the world. Power over himself gives him power over the world. Man, when he becomes this creative being, that's what we're going to see soon. Man's mitzvah is going to be peruvu. Man, when he becomes this creative being, when he becomes the expressor of that divine within him, that tzelem Elokim, then man, that's man's dominion over the world. That's man's purpose. Man's purpose is to have dominion over the world through expressing his tzelem Elokim. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of creation. That's what we're here for. That's what we're saying here. You understand?
And
if we don't do that, if we don't express that divine within us, then the animals will have dominion over us, or the animal part of man will have dominion. A man will just be another animal, and he'll be frightened of the animals. The animals can have dominion over him. Understand? Clear? Yeah. Okay. Vayivra Elokim et ha'adam b'tzalmo b'tzelem Elokim bara oto zachar nokev bara otam. So he said, God created, right, man in his form, and then he said he created them, male and female. So let's see Rashi. Vayivra Elokim et ha'adam b'tzalmo. We created man in his form. B'tfusa suilo, in the form that was made to him. Shakol nivra v'ma'ama, everything was created in God's way, in God's word. Hu nivra v'yadayim, right? Everything was created with God's word, but man was created with his hands. Yeah? Shinema, v'teshet alai kafcha, and you placed on me your hands. Nase b'chotem, was made like a chotem. K'matbeah, like a coin. Hasui ayadei roshim, like, you know, you take a coin and you put like a stamp on it. Shikoin quinch, how you say quinch? I don't even say it. The kenhu, some French word. The kenhu ome, tit hapech kachome chotem. It'll be put over on the chome, the form a chotem. I, God, put his impression on man. Man was somehow God's creation of man. It was more involved. Right? And he himself put his chotim, his imprint on man. Okay, but tzelem Elokim bara oto, he created him. Pirish lecha, she'oto tzelem, that form, Hamatukanov, which was fixed to him, said him, you can, the form of the face, so to speak, of Yotzrohu. Man is very similar to God. So similar. God himself created man. It wasn't just a mama, a statement of God. God himself imprinted his imprint on man. So there's a very close connection between God and man. Zachar nukeva baratam, he created them. So then it says, v'lahalan hu omer, later on in the pasuk it says, v'yikach echad b'tzalotav, God took one of man's sides, right? And created the male, female, put man to sleep, created her, and brought her to man. So here we say he created male and female. There it says he created her, right? From his, right, his sides. He only created man, then created the female, and brought him to her. So how does this work? They created two faces, so to speak. Bria Rishona, in the first creation, v'chalkach, and afterwards he separated them. A man was created two faces, like Siamese twins, and split.
I heard it was like one face is front and one face is yeah. Back.
This is a Gemara. It's a Gemara. Yeah. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Erevin. Upshuto shel mikra. That's the Midrash Agada. Right? Now we're going to see this Gemara. It's a very hard Gemara. Maybe I'll learn it with you. Pshuto shel mikra. Simple pshat. Kan hodiya hashinivru shneim. Here he tells us both of them were created. Vishishi on the second, sixth day. Bekitzu. You know, quickly. V'lo pirishacha keitzad briyatan. How they were created. V'pirishacha b'mokom achem. And he explained that in a different place. Now I'm not going to go into this here. But there's two, just as there's two forms of creation, remember this is Elokim. This is b'machshava. In thought. Right? Alpi din. Man was created du partsufim. One body, two heads. Like Siamese twins. Later, when man was in actuality created, man was created, and the female was taken from a part of man, from the side of man, right? And then brought back to man. Built up and brought back to man. And man connected to his wife. That's in actuality. So there's two, Gemara talks about two ways that man was created. Both are true. That's in Machshava, because that's the tachlis of man. The tachlis of man had become one with his wife. Completely. But in actuality, man was created only, and the female was created from man. We're going to learn about that later, what that means. But it means, simply speaking, it means the man's tachlis is to be one with his wife. And when the purpose is going to be one with his wife.
One of his purposes.
No, this is his purpose. Okay, you're going to see what that means later. Okay, not for now. Okay, it's more detailed. Now let's go on to the next part because we're running out of time. Okay? So it says, Vayivarech otam Elokim, and God blessed them, right? Now there's no one capturing them. Why did he bless them here? Vayom Elohim, and he tells them, Elokim, Pruvu, be fruitful and multiply, Umilu et ha'aretz, and fill the land, V'kivshuha, and have dominion over it. What's being fruitful and multiply doing to have dominion? V'yirudu b'dgat hayam. What's it do with dominion?
Numbers,
okay. Udu b'dgat hayam. We say this again. And have dominion over the fish of the seas, over of hashamayim, and the birds, v'chol chayat ha'rameset al ha'aretz. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it says, v'kivshuha, chasev vav. It says missing a vav. Right? The vav's missing. See the shuruk? It's instead of a vav. L'lamdecha, to teach you, shezachah kovish et hanakeva. The male has dominion over the female. Shelo tehe yetzanit. She shouldn't be going out. V'od l'amdecha teach you sha'ish da'ako likvosh. It's his way to be kovish. His way to have dominion. Therefore the mitzvah, pre-rivya, or pre-ruvu, to be fruitful and multiply, is on the man, v'lo ha'isha, not on the woman.
Which word is missing the vav?
Kivshuha. It says the vav is a shuruk, as these three dots. Okay? So what does this mean as well?
The man is the expressor.
Oh, that's it. The man is the expressor of that surah. And the woman is the one that expresses that. Mm-hmm. And the tachlis is, the man will be kovish. That's what kovish is. The purpose of the world, when we have man and male and female, this concept of male and female, male has a surah to be expressed in the woman, and together they'll be expressed in the animals. That's also the animals, or the world is the place, i.e. the female, so to speak, where man expresses his form. When you take a block and you make, or some mud, and you make a block and then you build a house with it, right, that you're expressing man's creativity. The Homer is what's being expressing man's creativity in it, the form. You understand? That's man's purpose. Man's purpose is to express his essence in the world. And that essence is ultimately his divinity within him. He is the person who's created this most similar to God. That's why God creates. If you create something, you know, you can buy something in a factory, or you can buy something that someone did it by hand, right? You know, the big thing. It's from the artist itself. You see the artist there. You feel him. It's not a machine that made it. It's not something which was done by a mama of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Someone standing there, he says, do this, to, you know, to the machines to do it. Right? Or presses a button. It's directly done. You see the creation of man. Man has a very big similarity to the Creator. He was created with the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because there's that similarity. Man's whole tafkid, his whole purpose in this world, is to express that divinity in the world, that creative form. And that's done with the mitzvah of peruvul. That's his mitzvah of peruvul. Now I explain to you that all the mitzvahs, according to the Kabbalists, are peruvul. Because that's man's purpose. All of our mitzvahs to express God's will is the man expressing his divine essence. Expressing that divine essence and expressing it in a abstract way, that's the concept of peruvul. Physically, it's your DNA going to woman, creating a child, right? Man, we're taking God's DNA. Man has God's DNA, and that's being expressed in the world and being formed children, toldot. What's a toldot? So it's children, physical children as well, man creates, but it's also his ma'aseh yadayim. What man, the forms that man creates in the world, is an expression of the godliness in him. If you're going to ask the question, what's the difference between a robot and man, that's the nekuda. A robot can't produce, can't be fruitful and multiply. Man has the ability of creativity, ex nihilo. That's why if you notice, the word we're using to create man is vayivra, not vayas. When God creates man, it's ex nihilo. It's not he was made. It was he's created. Because man has the ability of creativity, ex nihilo. An idea is ex nihilo. He's godlike. And he's the thing in creation which is the most godlike, because that's the tachlis of creation. And it has to be that way. Because if man wasn't godlike, he couldn't come to that ultimate goodness of being that Baal HaTavah. You understand me? So the tachlis of creation is for man to express God's essence in the world in a good way to the world. Right? And that's how he's kovish the world. That's how he has dominion over the world. When he doesn't do that, the world has dominion over him. He's not choosing his path. The path is being chosen for him in the world. The world has dominion over him. His chaya, his whole being, his physicality has dominion over him. All the behaviorists, all the Freudians are right. Man's animalistic part of him has dominion over him.
We have dominion over our bodies.
We do, of course. Yeah. If we choose to have. If man leaves himself, then he'll be on the internet all day. He'll be watching all sorts of different things. He'll be doing all sorts of things. You see people, you know, when they see a good food, they can't take their eyes off it or whatever it is, right? They're deterministic. They're very animalistic.
Self-control.
Yeah.
But free will to exercise our self-control.
When we exercise our free will, our self-control, then we're more manly. When we leave ourselves to our physical goof, we're like the animalistic. Animals. Then our animal part has dominion over us. Then we're not manly. Then we're not B'tzelem Elokim. That's what free will is. That's the nekuda, that man has that choice. To choose life, to choose expressing God's essence, that's choosing life. Or chas v'shalom, death. Death is, what's death?
Removal of God's presence in life.
Yeah. The removal of that essence from man.
That's by every choice you make is or a life choice or a death choice. That's your free will choice. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's more to do. We're going to have to do that next week, this other thing. Okay?